Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Today's podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. The podcast today is a previously recorded interview I had with local businessman, Mr. Jonah Kuttner. So here's that interview. I'd like to welcome Mr. Jonah Kuttner to the program today. Thank you, Jonah, for being with us.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Good. Let me say before we get started that Jonah records these Storytelling Time broadcasts that you hear every week, and he does a great job. And I also like to thank Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs. First of all, Jonah, tell our listening audience about yourself and your profession.
Well, I'm one of those folks who's always been into media, that is video and audio, since I was a very young child. And starting off with, you know, when we had film and we had cassette tapes and records and all that stuff. Now here we are in the digital age, and I do the same types of things with photos and audio and video, various types of media, and then put them together in the digital age. So it's something halfway in analog world of the past and halfway in the current present digital world.
Well, as you know, Jonah, this show is about providing people with inspiration. Now, I know that you have a story that is very inspirational. I've heard it. You've told me about it briefly. It's an amazing story about what happened to you once when you made a trip across country in your vehicle, from the West Coast where you were living at the time to where you were going here on the East Coast, which I think was right here in Raleigh, wasn't it?
Ultimately, yes, but in this case, we're talking about Greensboro.
So first of all, tell us what you were doing on the West Coast at the time, and then tell us what happened that was so amazing on your trip across the country.
Well, at the time, I was living in San Diego, California, just enjoying the beach and the sun, in between working at the PBS station down there, doing audio and video things on broadcast television. And in the meantime, my family, the vast majority of them, were living on the East Coast. And I decided to take a trip in 1996 with my wife at the time across the country to go visit my mom on Christmas, over the Christmas holiday. And in this case, we decided to drive all the way across the country and take the visit and then drive back, so we knew we were going to be gone for quite a while. So, obviously not hopping in the newest of vehicles, but it was a fun Toyota 4Runner at the time. But it's a Toyota, so we assume that they're going to go. But every car has, you know, its underlying issues underneath the hood. So after a three and a half day drive, mostly on the southern route through the desert, Arizona, New Mexico, then heading up through Texas, into Arkansas, through Tennessee, then eventually arriving in Greensboro, North Carolina, a few days before Christmas to visit my mom. Noting that the car was not brand new, which is part of where we're headed with this, it was pretty interesting. Well, it was a very fun drive, and it's very scenic, and I recommend that anybody should just take a drive and drive as much around the country as they can to see different sites. And I'd been in North Carolina for a couple days at my mom's place and getting ready to do some shopping and just, you know, general errands and stuff like that, running around in my truck that I had just driven across the country. Well, this one particular evening, just gone back from doing some errands, and I was running around, turning the truck on and off, getting in and out, but I kept hearing this sound underneath the hood, which was kind of suspicious to me. It kind of sounded like a, for the lack of a better sound effect, a kind of sound, like, I haven't heard that before, and of course I'm very experienced with my vehicle, but I was not, you know, like, this sound is new. I'm not quite sure what is going on with that. So I'd heard this sound a couple times when I was driving around, and I didn't really think about it. So I'm going back to my mom's place. I'm pulling into her driveway, and all of a sudden, the engine just stops, as if, you know, somebody had pulled the plug out of the wall and everything just stops. Well, most people, when the engine cuts off, you know, they think, oh, something, the battery must have died or something like that. And that was the first thing that went through my head. So the first thing I did when the engine cut off is I went to the key and I turned it and I heard this really horrible sound. And of course, the engine did not turn on. I'm like, uh-oh, this does not seem to be good. The engine had stopped just as I had enough inertia to coast into a parking space that was right in front of my mom's place at the time. So I got my truck where I needed to be, and I was like, what is going on here? Well, the engine was not going to start, so I had to have the vehicle towed to a shop that worked on Toyotas. And we discovered that, well, that whirring sound, that sound effect, the engine having just stopped in my mom's driveway a couple days into my Greensboro trip, was the result of a broken timing chain. So at this point, there's two things I'm thinking about in my head. Uh-oh, my vehicle is very broken, and it's going to be an expensive repair no matter what happens. Then the second thought came to mind, which was even more kind of profound. I said, wait a minute. I just got through driving from the West Coast, the Pacific time zone, to the East Coast of the Atlantic time zone. I've been through all of, like, you know, these places that are foreign to me. This could have happened anywhere in Tennessee, in Arizona, you know, a lot of places where there's no immediate help available. And this timing chain happened to break when I was relatively in a safe spot with family and friends where I could at least have something done about it. And that realization was kind of like, wow, that was, you know, it was an unlucky situation, but the timing of it, bad pun, it definitely was a lucky situation. So, of course, the thing is broken, so ultimately the state of the engine was that I had to have the whole thing replaced. Why was that? Going back to the part where the engine stopped and I turned the key thinking that it was just a dead battery, all of a sudden, simply by doing that, I had busted the valves, so that caused a lot more damage, compounded the whole problem. Just by doing that, it's kind of a natural reflex, oh, my engine has stopped, I'm going to turn the key, see if I can get it back on. So in between the timing chain and the busted valves from that part, I had to have the whole entire engine replaced, which was a decent four-digit figure, of course. And as you can imagine, the whole process of that lengthened my trip in North Carolina, having to call back my workplace, say I'm going to be late because I'm having a new engine put in my vehicle, and get back there as soon as I can. Delayed my return by a few days. Had the new engine put in. Of course, there's this break-in period where you can't, you know, go driving, you know, pushing it too hard. You kind of have to go easy on these things when you're doing the first few miles, just like you have with a new car. And so eventually finished up my trip with a brand new engine and the confidence at least, well, hey, I'm going to be driving back across the country with a brand new engine in the vehicle, and hopefully there'll be no problems with that.
So let me ask you this. How much time lapsed between when you arrived in Greensboro, you said, and the time when you actually had the problem with the engine?
I was there for about 2 days. The whole trip was scheduled for a little bit less than, it was like 5 days of staying in North Carolina. I ended up in North Carolina for a total of 8 days, so the whole trip was extended because of the whole engine repair issue.
Well, that's an amazing story, and you mentioned the luck that was involved. Of course, as I mentioned, this is an inspirational show. The stories that we talk about are things that people experience that they attribute to divine influence, and that's certainly something that is worthy to look at. When you drive across country, 3,000 miles, over 3 days, and not to have your car have any problems with it until you arrived at your destination, basically. That's something that a lot of people, I'm sure, especially our listeners, would attribute to divine influence.
I've come to believe that there's no such thing as quote-unquote coincidence. I mean, it's always, you know, when you use it colloquially, the word, you say, wow, what a coincidence that this happened with this. But I don't look at coincidence as simply, oh, this is happening like with this and everything is happening at the same time. I tend to think of coincidence more as something that is coincidences are things that are more presented to us to make us, you know, think or remind us of things or guide us through things.
Well, that's certainly true. And you mentioned driving from the L.A. area, basically going through the desert. And I taught geography for several years, so I'm familiar with that part of the country, the physical landscape. And you could drive for miles and miles in the desert once you leave L.A. And there are a lot of things out there that's not attractive, including wild animals that have been adapted to the heat environment, as well as rattlesnakes and who knows what else. In other words, it's some place where you don't want to break down.
And not to say the heat.
Exactly.
Of course, this was December, but you know, you've been through the desert, so you can go through hundreds of miles without seeing a gas station. So in a straight line, so it's something else. Yes.
Well, the thing is that you were very fortunate and blessed, if I might say that.
No doubt.
You didn't have any situations of vehicle problem in that kind of environment, and not only in the desert area once you left L.A., but of course all across the country. I mean, if you took the northern route, teaching geography for a number of years, there is the Intermontane Basin of Idaho and Utah, where there's just a flat terrain. You have a few hills, but basically a flat terrain where you can drive hundreds of miles without seeing any kind of development. That's certainly not a good place to have a vehicle problem, not to mention the Rocky Mountains, where sometimes it takes 4, 5, 6 hours to get through the Rocky Mountains as you drive eastward. So any situation like that would necessitate you driving not only safely, but your vehicle not having a problem in terms of it being able to continue.
Oh, but as you know, I was not quite that lucky. The story didn't quite end with a simple return to San Diego. Driving back across the country, being, you know, late December as I'm heading back, early January, well, late December, I'm driving through the panhandle of Texas and starting to snow a little bit, and, you know, and starting to get dark and, okay, no big deal, but knowing and listening to the radio a little bit, because I kept heading west, it kept snowing a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and it's like, oh, okay, well, it's getting a little bit weird. So then I came across the bridge, and as we all know what happens when we have cold conditions, bridges ice up before the roadways. So when I crossed, after I crossed from Texas into New Mexico, went over a bridge that I spun out on, the Toyota 4Runner I had kind of went down, I'd say a 30-degree embankment, perpendicular to the embankment, so I didn't go rolling, but I slid off the road, the car spun, so the back of the car was facing forwards, then everything curved, and then it went down the side of this embankment. And the first thing I thought when I had come to a stop, I was listening to the Outfield on my CD player at the time, and I said, wow, the CD didn't even skip. I will say one thing. Four-wheel drive vehicles don't keep you from sliding off icy roads, but they will get you out of perhaps where you slid into. And, of course, it helped to have a new engine to boot. And ultimately, I did make it back to San Diego safely after an unexpected stay in New Mexico because there was a busy snowstorm happening around there. It was quite a eventful trip. So you have to be careful driving, and of course, hope your vehicle is all in one piece and ready to go when you do these things. And if they're not, hope you have somebody watching over your shoulder to make sure everything's okay.
And that someone, of course, would be the master upstairs to make sure that we all are protected, and we are protected. It's kind of difficult to think of spiritual kinds of influences in today's secular society because there's so many distractions. Your story is amazing. And as well as when you came to North Carolina, on your way back, you said you had this accident, and that was, of course, another time when you needed divine influence, and apparently that was the case as well. Just as when you came eastward, the same thing happened to you westward, a negative thing that fortunately was not made any worse. Because, again, you were fortunate and you were blessed that you were able to survive that particular accident. So all around us, we have the influence of God and his looking out for us when sometimes we don't look out for ourselves, especially when we don't drive correctly. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I try to stay away from snow where I can, yes.
Well, thanks a lot. That's great. We're going to go ahead and take a break now, and we're going to come right back and finish things up and have some last words with Jonah. Welcome back. Jonah, as I said earlier, that was such an amazing story. Let me ask you this. Did you ever think about having a vehicle problem during the time when you were traveling either eastward coming to North Carolina or going back to California?
Well, you know, as I say, if anything can go wrong, then it will. Therefore, it's always something to worry about, even if you have a brand new vehicle. You know, something can happen. You can have a tire blowout. You know, any number of things can go wrong, even with a new vehicle. A number of things that, you know, are well beyond your control. Whenever you hop on the road, even just to go to and from work or to and from the store, much less driving on a long road trip. So, of course, those are always things you think about, but just along the lines of anything you do with risk, you go out and do it, and you pray everything works out all right, and you just go from there. And otherwise, there would be nothing, there would be no adventure in life if you didn't take any risks. And certainly a road trip across the country involves a little bit of that.
I would say so. No doubt about that. Well, let me ask you another question, and I'm coming to the last of the questions that I'll be asking you, and that is, have you had any other experiences similar, anything close to what you experienced during this cross-country trip?
Anything that's directly analogous, you know, I've had a lot of strange coincidences happening, but nothing directly analogous given, you know, the distance traveled, the risk entailed, you know, when you, you know, do these types of things. If you make it to and back when you're on a fun vacation, road trip adventure, it's a fantastic thing, but, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, you have to have that plan in the back of your mind, as with anything in life, what am I going to do if this happens? So, you know, nothing along those lines like that.
Well, thanks again for your story, Jonah. I'd be glad to hear of other stories like this one from our listeners, or maybe not to this extreme, of course, but something that may have happened to you that you might consider out of the ordinary, what I call an extraordinary experience. Just email me at waporter4995@yahoo.com. And if we get enough of these quote-unquote extraordinary type experiences, we'll put them on a future show. You don't have to give your name, just a brief account of the experience and where you're from. Well, Jonah, do you have anything else to add?
Nothing along the lines of my experience, which was pretty harrowing enough as it was, though I seem to remember I was talking to you when we were talking about this whole story, and you had something similar happen to you and one of your family members. Is that right?
Yeah. My daughter went to college at a local university in Greensboro. We lived in Hertford at the time, which is a four-hour drive from Greensboro. Anyway, one weekend, that is, I drove up to pick her up. She wanted to come home that particular weekend, and I did that. I made the four-hour drive from Hertford to Greensboro to pick her up. She loaded the vehicle up, and we started on our way back from Greensboro. And it was an older vehicle, but it was in good shape. we took a rural route, and we drove for 3 hours and 50 minutes, and there was no problem at all. It's kind of interesting because we could have taken a more populated route, a more well-traveled road from Greensboro to Hertford, but for some reason I decided to take a northern route, less traveled, very rural. You probably had only about two or three service stations the whole route from Greensboro to Hertford. As we were driving from Greensboro, we were almost to where we lived, about 10 minutes from where we live, as a matter of fact. Now, keep in mind, we had been driving for 3 hours and 50 minutes. No problem with the vehicle, when all of a sudden the check engine light came on. And worse than that, it started to blink. And I realized that I had a problem, either with the alternator or with the battery. Anyway, with my right foot all the way down on the accelerator to the floor, the car continued to slow down, and now we were about a half mile from where we lived. And so it continued to slow down until I got in front of my house, but I was able to make the left into the driveway. And after entering the driveway, I was able to make a right, or at least the car drifted to the right and simply stopped in a parking area that I always use to park our vehicles in front of our house. So that was pretty close to what you experienced.
It just drifted into the right spot at the very edge of its available usefulness, and then it was broken, but at least you got it to where it had to be for the moment, versus being stuck out in the middle of an open road or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly. And it wouldn't go any further with my foot all the way down to the floor. But anyway, that's what happened to us. And again, it's very similar to what you experienced, although I have to admit it was not quite as dramatic because it was only a four-hour drive, whereas in your situation, Jonah, you were driving across country 3,000 miles over a period of 3 days. So the two situations aren't quite comparable with respect to that, but in all other ways, as far as the condition of the vehicle, I think it's very comparable to what you experienced.
And nobody wants to be stuck no matter what.
Exactly.
Even if you're just driving to the store.
Exactly. Well, we're out of time, and Jonah, again, that's just amazing what you went through, and it's an amazing story. And I'd like to thank you again for telling us that.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for today. Remember that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.